T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Overnight America continues. And yes, we'll talk some more impeachment talk later this hour. So about 10:30 or so, if you want to stick around. Or, you know, we had a couple of people on the line that we didn't get a chance to get to, and I didn't get a chance to actually talk to Mark all that long, so I hope he's still listening from Kentucky, and we can do that. But we'll do that after our guest here, which we had scheduled. And he's someone that's a local watchdog. He pays attention to the politicians, where the money's going, and someone that makes a lot of sense. His name is Tom Sullivan. Thank you for coming on to Overnight America.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
I saw one of your remarks that you put out there, and I was reading it. This was just a couple of days ago, St. Louis County Council remarks of Tom Sullivan. Now, you pay an awful a lot of attention to what's going on, and I was asking you through email some of the top things that you pay attention to locally here, and certainly there's a lot to pay attention to locally in the city of St. Louis. I wanted to talk to you about the trolley and some of the developments on that, because you've been following it, and maybe some other things too. But yeah, let's start with the Loop Trolley, and you've had a lot of criticisms of them throughout the entire process, and most recently we found that we continue to pump money into it. At least we know it'll be funded until the end of the year, and to me, it's all for nothing. I mean, I don't understand how we could possibly justify continuing to dump money into this thing at this point. I wanted to talk to you about some of the comments you had to county council and the way you look at it. As we are right now, why in the world are we continuing to throw money into this thing? And do you ever see this as an opportunity to be financially viable by itself?
Well, that's the big question. You know, the drama is continuing. Just back up a little bit. If you remember, in October, the trolley people came out and said, they need to have $200,000 right away, or November 15th, the trolley is going to come to an end. And then they need another $500,000 after that. Well, Sam Page brought this up for the county council, and it kind of went nowhere. They were always reluctant. And he said, county executive said, we're going to wait and see what the mayor of St. Louis is going to do on this. And she had previously said that they don't have any funding. Well, then all of a sudden, the Loop Trolley Transportation Development District, Transit Development District, this is the entity that collects the 1 cent sales tax throughout the loop. They said they've got $90,000, and $90,000 will take it to the end of the year. So that's kind of where we're at right now. The question is somebody going to come up with some funding? And whether or not you know, the city or the county is going to do it. The question I have asked, and what everybody else has asked, is what's the point of giving them money when there's really no plan to keep this thing going in the long run? St. Louis County gave them $3 million about 3 years or so ago. They went through that, and they came back and said they needed $500,000, and that's when Steve Stinger said no. But then Clayco came up with a $500,000. Clayco also lent them $200,000. Well, they went through all that money. Then somebody else made them a $100,000 loan, and they went through that, and then a second $100,000 loan, and they went through that. So the idea of giving these people money out of the public transit fund, to me, just makes no sense at all.
You know where the big flaw is here is that when they asked $500,000 and Steve Stinger said no, they should have had the foresight to realize they had to donate to his campaign before putting that request in. They missed that part.
They might have just doubled the campaign contribution.
All right, so part of this, too, is there ever going to be an audit of this thing? Where has the money been spent, 50-some million dollars?
Well, Mark Harder on the county council, he wants to have a federal audit. I'm not quite sure I know what a federal audit is. I mean, it's not like a state audit where you have a state auditor and the state auditor comes in. He said there's like some kind of an inspector general, but all they're doing is they're asking the local congressman and all the congressional delegation to urge for this audit. But this has been like 3 weeks ago and haven't heard anything from it. So all these things just eat up money like crazy. I mean, light rail is pretty much the same way. Even if you're going to get into the high-speed rail out in California, they're up to $80 billion. So, I mean,
they've abandoned ship on that.
It's just the nature of these things that they just eat up more and more money. And all the estimates of what it's going to take in are always way out of bounds. And, you know, this particular one, nobody would have expected that this would have fallen so flat. They're only going to take in the first year, which is just about, I think November 15th will be the 1 year. They're not even going to take in 10% from ticket sales that they had estimated. So that is quite a drop from what they expected.
And part of this audit, and was it the Wall Street Journal or New York Times? One of them did a piece on the Loop Trolley, and they were talking about the failures of it here, and just in general, this program was put together to give money to different cities that wanted to put a trolley system in. St. Louis, one of those cities that was granted, you know, $20-some million, and they talked to these officials in the federal government that said, if we would have known everything, if we would have had the foresight, there's no way we ever would have granted this money to St. Louis. So I think it's not so much that they can't get the ridership or whatever it is. I think it's so much they understood that they were walking into a situation where they didn't have a lot of experience. They realized that it would be unlikely that this thing would be managed in a way that would be financially viable. And all the way together, I think so many people have looked at this, and we can all stand side by side and yell at the top of our lungs, enough's enough. Like, this is something we all actually agree on.
Yeah, what's surprising to me is the degree of opposition to giving it any more funds. I told the county council last night, I would say nearly 90%, if you look at social media, about 90% of the people are opposed to it, in University City especially so. I mean, people are just rather severe in their criticism. I mean, it's like not one more cent. And especially if you live in University City and you have to put up with the trolley, you get stuck behind it, or even when you're driving down Delmar, the tracks irritate a lot of people because your tracks of your car are kind of in and out of the tracks of the trolley, so that's kind of a mess. So.
Yeah. Last time we spoke, I rode the trolley one more time. My parents were in town. We are at the History Museum, and I said to my parents, I said, ugh, we could risk it. I was on vacation, so I didn't have anywhere to go, so I thought if we get stuck for an hour, you know, it's worth the risk. We can try one last time, say goodbye to the trolley. And this is what I found out about the trolley. And this is one of those moments at the Del Mar Loop. So we got to our destination fine. We went to Fitz's and got some root beer floats and stuff, and it was great. And then we went back on the trolley. Well, my parents, up there in age, when they were trying to get onto the trolley, it was a little bit of a step for them. So they have a handlebar on one side, and then there's the door to the trolley on the other side. So they were using the handlebar on one side, and then they stabilized themselves with the door on the other side. I later found out that door, that's the reason why the door is so finicky, is because if anyone touches it, other than the automatic opening and closing, it'll freeze the trolley in place. And you have to, if it's enough, you touch it enough, it will be an instance where they got to call a technician out to reset this thing, because it won't run. Even if the door's closed and locked, if it's off by just a little bit, it won't run. So this is what ended up happening. We were in the middle of the Del Mar Loop. The doors were closed, but the engine of the thing kept shutting off because it was a safety measure. And anywhere you looked, as far as the eye can see, were cars. And I knew, you got to be kidding. They must hate us. People don't like this trolley because it gets stuck all the time. They don't like the idea of having already terrible traffic there, to have more road taken up, and then no way to get around it. It's surely impossible to make travel if you continue this way. So I just wanted to give you that little quick rant story of the experience we had the last time we rode it.
Yeah, it's pretty good at clogging up the traffic. And I think you raised an interesting issue, too, is so how many times this has had problems, because I was coming home. Oh, it was on a Sunday night, maybe 3 weeks ago, and I see the trolley there with all the police around it, you know, and it's like, wonder what's going on there. So I waited for a while, and I thought maybe they're going to have to tow it in, but they brought the repair guy out or something, and he eventually got it going. But I just wonder how many times they've had problems with this, because, you know, you have to realize this is not exactly heavy-duty wear and tear on this thing. It only putts down the road 10 or 15 miles an hour.
And it's brand new. It's brand new. They just refurbished all these things. All right, Tom, do you mind holding on? I got a couple more questions for you.
Sure.
Tom Sullivan joins us. And I was reading some of his remarks to the St. Louis County Council, and we're talking a little bit about the trolley. There's another thing I wanted to talk to him about, but there was something he wrote about before, and I hope Tom could clarify after the break. It has to do with some of the stipulations of what was promised when building the trolley to begin with. There's a couple of things that they said wouldn't happen that ended up happening. And there was one instance where they were talking about what was going to be taxed and how they ended up doing this vote to begin with. It was the way that they counted the properties was a little bit weird. In fact, they've changed the rules since then, so this doesn't happen again. Real fishy how they handled it to begin with. So I wanted to talk to Tom about it, and maybe he can clarify it for us next on Overnight America KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Overnight America, thank you for listening to us tonight. And I do enjoy spending time with you, every one of you, almost every one of you, most of you, well, most of you. And I want to thank Tom Sullivan for holding on. And Tom, I got some more trolley questions for you, if that's all right.
That's fine.
There's a couple of points you've made in the past regarding the ideas that were first presented to the public. For example, one of those ideas, we'll never have to see those lines over Del Mar or whatever because, you know, this will be a different type of trolley. And then all they start installing these lines. And, you know, there's certain promises that were put forth to people in order to get them on board. There was one thing that I read, and I was hoping you can explain it to me. And it has to do with the original vote about the 1% sales tax in that area. Because when they were doing that vote and they were asking the businesses that would be affected, how did they manipulate it so that it wasn't an equal vote?
Well, when you put together all your information, you go to the court and they order. If you get everything in, the court determines that everything is in order, and then they order an election. Well, then as the law was written at the time, they send out ballots to the various property owners, and your vote was weighted, which is, of course, incredibly unusual and completely illegal.
The vote was weighted. Can you explain that?
What means, according to how many square footage of property you owned, that determined how much your vote was worth. Mm-hmm. So if you owned a small lot and somebody next to you owned a lot that's 10 times bigger, they would get 10 votes and you would get one vote. In fact, I'm looking at it right now, a copy of the ballot. They have it apportioned. Your percentage is right on the ballot. In other words, everybody has a ballot. This election is not like you go in a place, you go and vote at a polling place. You get a ballot mailed to you for you, to a particular property owner, and then it lists how much your vote is worth and everything. Then you have to sign it and vote yes or no, and then you have to return it. But then they changed the law. Of course, I don't know how this ever even got on the books. I mean, if you look at the Board of Freeholders, years ago when that came up, they took it to the Supreme Court, and of course they said, well, of course, if you're going to have a vote that only has property owners, that's illegal, unconstitutional. So, I mean, imagine if you have something like this, it's even more unconstitutional. Well, they changed the law, and now we're now back to a different system. But also in the beginning, one of the deceptions that was used was, this is not going to require any overhead wires going through the loop. In other words, it's going to be battery-powered trolleys, and when they get outside of the business area, they will have wires, but then they'll recharge themselves. Well, if you look at what these things cost, I mean, these type of cars are not all that dependable, and are, you know, some like millions of dollars. But that was a deception that was used. Well, then all of a sudden they said, oh no, we won't be able to do that. It just costs too much. But don't worry, the wires will be nearly invisible. Well, anybody's ever seen that. If you've been over anybody's over a loop, could say they're a long way from invisible because they've got big poles and they got the arms and then they got the wires extending all over the place. So it's just had been deception. And the other deception was, of course, oh, our finances are fine. Even before they laid the track, people at public meetings, some of you city residents were saying, what happens if it doesn't work? Do you have the money to restore it? Oh, no, not a problem. And, of course, they've had all kinds of problems with finances. But generally speaking, what they say and do, whatever's needed to move it along to the next level, And whether it's true or not, it doesn't really matter. So they've been fudging on the finances all along, and they finally reached the end of the road.
Yeah, you know what the Del Mar Loop looks like. If you've ever gone to any of those circus acts where they have the tightrope walkers and you see the safety net below them, it looks like there's a safety net over the Del Mar Loop. That's how many lines are up there, just in case someone's up there doing a high wire act. And one other thing, too, and I was reading part of your comments that you had to the county council, it was the word loans. So when the trolley needed some extra money, there was Clayco loan, $200,000. Someone made a $100,000 loan. The trolley received another $100,000 loan. They kept going through it. So is that money that the trolley owes still, or is that something that was more or less given to them with no expectation of repayment?
Well, I would imagine people like to get the money back, but I don't know what the details of the loans are. They just listed them as loans. Clayco actually gave $500,000, and that's, you know, they don't have to repay that. But then they made another loan for $200,000, and I don't know how anybody would really loan this operation any money with the expectation that they're going to get paid back, because every cent that goes into this thing just gets spent. I don't know what point in the future where they're going to actually generate more than they need. I don't see that at all.
How in the world is that possible? You're right, because the income that is generated from it, nowhere near even close to the amount that they've loaned out on top of what they've already had. So it's impossible. It is literally impossible for them to make it back, unless somehow they found a way to turn this into like an illegal drug operation, if they were smuggling some goods or whatever. Honestly, I can't think of a way they could legally turn this thing around. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, and that's where the drama is going to start coming in as they're getting to the end of the year, and they're going to be saying, you know, it's almost like a game of chicken. If you don't give us the money, we're going to shut this thing down. And where the money is going to come from, I don't know. I think that the mayor of St. Louis, Lida Cruson, and the county executive, they both would like to see it continuing, but they're not all that fond of giving it money. And you know, here you have Sam Page. He's running for election next year. I don't know if he wants to look to be made foolish over this thing. So how this is going to end, we're going to find out, I guess, at the end of the year.
Wow, there it goes. Well, thank you, Tom Sullivan, for spending some time with us to talk about the Loop Trolley, some of the updates with it, and really some of the comments and points you've been making. I've really enjoyed reading about you've paid so much attention to this, and I'm glad you're doing it. And thank you for coming on again to Overnight America.
Well, thanks, Ryan, for having me.
And that's Tom Sullivan joining us on the Quiver River Electric KMOX guest line. He is so good. So good. I wanted to pick up where we were in the last hour. We were doing some impeachment talk. I didn't really have a chance to take all your phone calls, and I told you to hold on if you could wait. Call on back now. We'll start doing that at 314-436-7900. Chuck, was it Chuck? Yeah, and Sissy were on the line before we left, and there's a few others that were calling in. Also, 800-925-1120. If you're still with us, give us a call back. Either way, I have some other clips I wanted to play if no one calls in. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
All right, here we are, Overnight America. Before the 10 o'clock hour, and before we had Tom Sullivan on, we were talking about the hearings from earlier today, and I left the phone lines open. And unfortunately, we had a lot of calls towards the end, and I asked a couple of them to call back. And if you can, that'd be great, at 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Because a lot of what's going on with the impeachment hearings right now is the theatrics to it. Is it going to actually yield anything or other than some sort of, you know, political witch hunt against the Republicans and Donald Trump right now? And as they try to pose themselves to be in the best spot they can be in 2020. And it sure certainly looks like they're not really expecting much out of this procedurally. I think they're looking mostly to score a couple of political hit points leading into the election next year. Sissy, thank you so much for calling back.
Yes, certainly. First of all, I'd just like to say, Brian, I really, really enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you.
I've always listened to radio since I've been a child, falling asleep with the radio, literally. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to say, yes, it's a great, great show.
Yes. I love the compliments. I love them so much. Can you make sure your radio's turned down?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Okay, perfect. Okay, now go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, so beginning to say I love the show. And the main reason I love the show is because you keep the ugly, low level politics out of your show. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm listening to Todd. I work between 50 and 60 hours a week. Mm-hmm. So for me to spend time listening to your show, you have to really like it. I do fall asleep. But I'm always awakened by the song at the end if I do fall asleep.
Oh, the sleeping with the radio on. All right.
Exactly. So I'm the living personification of that. Anyway, what I did want to say then, of course, I want to let you know about that, was that I'm very disappointed that you would even cover this topic of the impeachment. Hmm. I really, truly, in my heart, thought you were not going to do that. Because having listened to you for so many nights, I just didn't think you were of that thinking and that level, because for me, I turned the channels when the TV today was on impeachment, because it's all a lie. I mean, we used to live to put great value on telling the truth, and all these lies, and no accountability. Nobody being brought to account. So, of course, these people who are building this impeachment, have you already brought up the examples of them lying, and nothing has been done. So, of course, they're going to continue lying. Hmm. I think, you know, it's so obvious to see. Whistleblower equals steel dossier.
Hmm.
You begin the impeachment on whistleblower. Hmm. False. A big lie. You begin the collusion. Steel dossier. A big lie. Hmm. So, I'm very disappointed that you would spend time on this. It doesn't
Well, you know what? Maybe it's a good thing, because that meant we spent a little bit of time tonight together.
Yeah, well, I spend the night together every night. I listen to your show. But I think people are forgetting. We just had the Veterans Day, November 11th, which is my birthday. Mm. But forgetting that we had even more people, more Americans, killed to save this nation. If you go back, then it's not even mentioned anymore, but the Civil War. And if we look at what Abraham Lincoln had said, that that this nation was conceived, dedicated, and we don't know if it is going to endure. I wonder what he would say now with all this attack on our president, on our government, that our congressmen can use our tax money, their time. They were sent to Washington to work for the people, mm-hmm. and spending their time on politics. It's very sad. And, Abraham Lincoln mentioned, that was a history major. So I'm interested in all these things, but not this impeachment stuff.
Doesn't even register. So really, this is going to be dragged on for a while. This is just the start.
I know it's pathetic. Broadcasts and all that are taking this seriously is very distressing.
Okay.
And, you know, Abraham Lincoln pointed out that on Gettysburg, all these dead soldiers, they gave their lives so that this nation might live. Now we have all these people trying to destroy it.
Oh, all right.
And that's very sad.
Sissy, I'm glad you called in, and thank you so much for the kind words, too.
Yeah. I hope we'll have enough people who will stick to their guns and raise their level of thinking and topics. And I hope you don't spend too much time on the impeachment. I do like everybody says, you don't like it, you change the channel.
I get it. I totally get it. All right. Hey, thank you, Sissy. All right. She listens every night. That's great. I know. You probably have noticed from the start of this radio program when I took it over 2.5 years ago to where I am today, I talk a lot less politics. And there's a reason for it, because you get this certain fatigue. You get hammered over the head every day by all the news networks on cable, all the ones on the main ABCs, NBCs, CBSs. All they do is constantly bang you on the head with negative Trump. In fact, Sissy has, and she didn't bring this up, but there was a recent newsbusters, and I think they do a great job totaling up some of these different biases you can find in the media. But overwhelmingly, everything's been negative. So it says they've been analyzing coverage of President Trump and his administration on ABC, CBS, and NBC evening newscast since 2017. And it's more hostile than normal. It said out of 684 comments included in these broadcasts, a whopping 96% have been negative versus a meager 4% that have been positive. The fact that you can approach the news in a way where you are choosing a certain motive, or you're choosing a tone, or you're choosing how you're going to handle it, and you purposely make it into a negative way without the ability to give the other side, as if there is no other side or no defense, as in if you are presenting it that way as being journalistic integrity at its highest, that's a problem. And I think 96% of all reporting on the major news networks being negative, by itself, you should be able to look at those numbers and say they don't present it in a fair way. If they presented it in a fair way, they wouldn't have 4%, which would have been maybe the rebuttal to what someone else said. The rebuttal of, okay, you know, this is what someone said, here's a counterpoint or whatever it is. I don't know if there's anyone out there that could honestly say all of the main news networks handle the Trump administration with the same level of scrutiny they held the Obama administration. They gave him a free pass on so much. So when you look at just the way it's done, you know it's done on purpose. You know that there are people making decisions to handle it the way they're handling it. And that's no exception to the impeachment hearings that have happened recently. I mean, they, again, have been treating this like it's a giant circus act because they think it's going to bring them big ratings. But I think there's more people like Sissy out there that are going to look at it and say, this is such a major turnoff. You're not using this as a way to persuade anyone. You're using this as more of a propaganda opportunity. And she's right in her assumptions. But still, it doesn't mean I can't ignore it totally on this show. I do 4 hours a night. 4 hours a night. I love that Sissy listens for 4 hours a night. But, you know, we got to talk about the big events that happen during the day. You probably notice I don't talk about Trump every day. I don't talk about politics every day. I don't bring this stuff up all the time. It's only when it's relevant, like today. Jeff calling in Ferguson. Hi.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Good.
Yeah, I want to talk about a couple of things. About first the impeachment, then a suggestion for the how you don't want to talk about the politics all the time.
Sure.
But anyway, the first thing is we all know what's going to happen. I don't know why they're putting on this dog and pony show. Let's just get to the vote in the House, get the acquittal in the Senate, and just move on.
Yeah.
But that's what's going to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm. I know. We all know. There would have to be some sort of giant revelation. And I know politicians can't keep their mouth shut long enough to keep that hidden anyway. So there would have to be something crazy to switch that many Republicans over in the Senate.
There will be at least three Senate Republicans that we know of.
Yeah, but not 20. Vote. Yeah.
Yeah, there would be at least three that we know of, but not enough for her. But anyway, the other suggestion is I heard you were talking about Art Bell the other night.
Yeah.
Maybe do dedicate one night to a show like what he does. Choose a topic or something like that and just do one full night of that.
Yeah, we had Jay Mueller on last night, and we talked about late night radio and, you know, the Art Bells of the world and things. Yeah, I guess it's popular mostly here in the United States for something like that. You want me to do Art Bell-style show one night? That
would
be kind of cool.
Not Art Bell, but the subject.
The subject matter.
Yeah. The type, you know, like UFOs or something like that. Just
General Johnson Jameson could call in and we can talk about them trying to raid Area 51. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that's something like that.
I got the theme song.
Could be like a Thursday night or something.
I got the theme song ready to go just in case. And it's on our sister station right now, so I feel like it's okay to make light of it. It's been around for so long. It's still the dominant show through, you know, midnight to 5 a.m. or whatever it is. So it's pretty remarkable. All right. Hey, thanks, Jeff.
Good night.
Good night. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I could do a full four-hour conspiracy show just like an Art Bell. Art Bell came at it honestly. I think he really bought into and believed a lot of those things. I don't necessarily believe it, but I can do 4 hours of topics like who built the pyramids. I can do 4 hours with topics like Bigfoot and UFOs and what are they hiding on Mars and why does NASA's feed cut out. I could do 4 hours on that really easy with all kinds of guests. That would be so much fun. Maybe we'll do that one night. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Got a couple more minutes. Our guy from Kentucky, I thought he was going to call back. I guess he said he was going to be listening for the next half hour. But that's okay. I wanted to play this tonight, too. Representative Chris Stewart, I don't know anything about him other than he's from Utah. And today he was part of this committee that were able to ask some questions to U.S. diplomat George Kent and Ambassador Bill Taylor. And I was listening to it and I thought, you know what? This is good. This is really good. So much so I wanted to play the entire line of questioning he had. And I think really if you missed it today or didn't care to listen to it today, I think this is a pretty good representation of why all of this is just silly to begin with. And, you know, it's 4.5 minutes. They have 5 minutes on the floor. I feel like let's just do it.
Thank you. To the witnesses, thank you. Time is precious, so I'm going to go very, very quickly. Welcome, I think, to year 4 of the ongoing impeachment of President Trump. I'm sorry that you have been dragged into this. I think the sign behind me says it very well. By the whistleblower's attorney, the coup has started and impeachment will follow. But after listening for what is going on now 4 hours and 21 minutes, after all of the secret hearings, after all of the leaks, after hearing witnesses such as yourselves give your opinions, it really comes down to this. One thing it comes down to. This is the transcript that the president has released of this phone call. There is one sentence, one phone call. That is what this entire impeachment proceeding is based upon. And I got to tell you, if your impeachment case is so weak that you have to lie and exaggerate about it to convince the American people that they need to remove this president, then you've got a problem. And the American people have been lied to again and again on this. We first heard a lot about quid pro quo. And then many people realized that was meaningless. So they said, well, let's go for the fences then. Let's talk about extortion. Let's talk about bribery. Let's talk about cover-up and obstruction, for which there is zero evidence of any of that. We heard a characterization of the president's phone call that was so outrageously inaccurate, it had to be described as a parody. And none of those things matter. None of it matters. It comes down to this. We appreciate your insight. We appreciate your opinion. But all you can do is give your opinion of this. This one phone call. Let me ask you, gentlemen, both of you have said here today, you have testified, corruption in Ukraine is endemic. Would we agree on that? Simple question. Problem is, isn't it?
It's a problem, and they're taking steps to address it.
Okay, earlier in the hearing, both of you said, use the word endemic or agreed to it. It's in the courts, it's oligarchs, it's prosecutors, it's everywhere. And I think we can also agree that that's not the only place in the world where we experience and see corruption. There's dozens and dozens of nations around the world that are steeped in corruption. Would you agree with that?
Mr. I would say that there's corruption in every country, including ours.
Okay, thank you. And some we're clearly more concerned about than others. So in these corrupt nations, of which there are probably hundreds of corrupt individuals, hundreds of corrupt government officials, can you give me an example any time where the Vice President of the United States shows up and demands that a specific prosecutor be fired and gives them a 6-hour time limit to do that? Are you aware of that ever happening any other place? I guess the answer is no. And I just think it's interesting that out of hundreds of corrupt individuals, dozens of corrupt nations, that happened one time. And it happened with the individual whose son was being paid by the organization that was under investigation. One other thing very quickly. If someone was a candidate for a political office, even for President of the United States, should they be immune from investigation?
No one is above the law, sir.
Thank you. I agree with that. I think we all would agree with that. And yet, I think some presume that because some of the individuals we're talking about here were candidates, that they are immune from any questions or any investigation. I think it's absurd. For heaven's sakes, if those of us in public office, those of us who have find ourselves up for re-election or all the time as a candidate, I think we have a higher standard, not immunity from asking these types of questions. The last thing, then, I'm going to yield my time. Availability of funds, I'm quoting from the NDAA in 2019. The language is specific. Availability of funds under assistance to the Ukraine, it has to be certified. And what has to be certified? Quote, for the purposes of decreasing corruption. Are you surprised that there would be questions about corruption in Ukraine and that it would be discussed withholding some of this aid that's actually required by law that it be withheld if they can't certify that corruption has been eliminated or is being addressed?
The certification in that case is done by the Secretary of Defense upon advice of his staff in consultation with the interagency community. We were fully supportive of that conditionality, and the Secretary of Defense had already certified that that conditionality had been met.
And so we agree that we should withhold funds if there's questions about corruption that have not been addressed. I'm going to yield my rest of my time to Mr. Jordan.
That was Utah Representative Chris Stewart. After you saw a lot of the testimony regarding hearsay this, hearsay that, and people would come back and say, it doesn't matter, it's a, you know, congressional, not a court hearing, and Sixth Amendment don't apply. Da, da, da. So when they went back and forth that way, and over and over again, well, you didn't actually talk to the person, did you? Oh, you were on vacation. You didn't actually see this firsthand, did you? Oh, you just heard someone from a friend who said that they were... So these were the two witnesses that the Democrats called on today that were going to be the slam dunk to make their case. But I don't think anyone sees them as making their case. In walks Representative Chris Stewart from Utah, and he asked these questions in a very straightforward way. Here's the procedures that were used and why they were used, and you would probably agree, if you're asking a question, well, and you find out that in the end, we would agree that these procedures were followed. Okay. So what are we doing here? It's pretty good. I thought what he did and the groundwork he laid was very good. It was much different than a lot of the other people that were part of this hearing. All right, so when we come back, we've got another hour of Overnight America, and we'll keep the phone lines open. I don't think we're going to talk impeachment next hour. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. That's how you can use your mobile phone. Or your phone that you have anchored to the wall that's been there forever, still with one of those curly cords attached to it. That'd be fine, too. If you want to, you can reach me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download it. The podcast is at KMOX.com/ONA. Make it your favorite podcast. Leave a nice positive review for us. It does help the show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.